would take your Bibles out and read with us Psalm 129. Then I'm going to tell you what the title is afterwards. As we're looking at Psalm 129, realize that we're the sparrow. Similar language ties this song to specific prophecies about the tragic period in Israel's history to come, which psalmist is telling us that Israel has been afflicted so many times that if you know the fact of the history of Israel, you can go all the way back to when they were slaves in Egypt and Moses rescued them. This is a picture of the affliction. It was a picture of them coming out of the slavery into the exodus, into the promised land, and all the disobedience, and all the obedience, and everything that went on in their lives. Just a picture of their history, and they've always been suffering. And God, the Bible says, never forsook them, and they experienced victory in all these afflictions. How does that apply to us? Well, are you here today?
Amen.
You're surrounded by the same COVID-19 as everybody else, but are you here today? Yes, we are.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. I've been to Kroger's and Walmart lately, and it's all around yet you're here today. I'm not saying you might not come down with it today, but right now, God has prevailed.
Amen.
Continue to prevail. Look at verse 2 again. Yet they have not prevailed against me. This is where I got the thought that we're just pilgrims passing through until we get to glory, until we get to heaven. We're going to be under attack. It may be COVID this year, maybe something next year. As long as you're on this earth, Satan is going to hate you. He's going to attack you because you're a child of God. So we're going to look at Psalm 129. I want you to sing a song of victory as we go through and apply Psalm 129, how they reacted to your own lives today. I may want to know, I want to remind you this, that we read God's word to learn to get through this life and go into the next, and how to live on this earth. Because our promise and our hope is one day we'll end up in heaven.
Amen.
I've shared that with you so many times, and I'm going to continue to share that with you until we get over some of these afflictions. We need to be encouraged.
Amen.
Several of us have been talking, and we need to encourage each other. But some of us that have never experienced depression are experiencing being depressed right now. And it's not because we're weak. It's because we're so overwhelmed with this stuff, we don't know how to handle it. So I'm going to read to you, I've chosen four different places in Scripture where there's some kind of affliction and then some kind of victory. And I'm going to just read it, and I know that you'll be able to determine the affliction, and also you'll be able to determine the victory. So we're going to look at the book of John, John chapter 11. We're going to look at John chapter 5, and we're going to read in part. So John chapter 11, we're going to start at verse 38, read through verse 44. There's an affliction in all these, and there's a victory in all of them. What do we do with it? We put it in our heart and meditate on it, because we're going to go through some of these things. John 11, 38, then Jesus again, groaning in himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. And Jesus said, take away the stone. And Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, Lord, by this time there's a stench, for he had been dead 4 years. You know, we're talking about Lazarus. And Jesus said to her, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? And they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me, and I know that you always hear me, because the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me. And when Jesus had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, can you just hear him out? Lazarus, come forth. He's dead. Come forth. And he who died came out, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped in cloth, and Jesus said to him, loose him and let him go. What was their affliction? Death. He was absolutely dead. Been buried, been put in the cave, in the tomb. What was the victory? Life. That one, hard to figure out. It happened, it's real. What do we take away from it? It's the same thing waiting for us one of these days. We're about to be led and laid in a hospital bed dying somewhere. Where God's not ready for us, it's just letting it happen. And I'm hoping it happens many times soon. Say, Jerry, get out of that bed. It's time. You know how my mind goes, I'm thinking, oh, I hope I'm not asleep when he says that. I hope I hear it, and I know I'll know you when Jesus speaks, you're going to hear it. John chapter 5, look at verses 1 through 9. Again, there's some kind of affliction, some kind of victory in all these verses. After this, there was a set feast, a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there was a Jerusalem by the sheep gate, a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool to stir the water, and whoever stepped in first, after the stirring of the water, was made well of whatever disease he had. Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. Now when Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he already had been in that condition a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" The sick man answered Jesus, "Sir, I have another man to put me in the pool where the water is stirred up. But while I am coming, another steps down before me." And Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your bed, and walk." Look at verse 9. And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed, and walked, and that day was the Sabbath. What was the affliction? 38 years or something, some kind of infirmity. Maybe he was crippled, he couldn't make it to the pool by himself. What was the victory? Rise up, walk, heal. Would that apply to some of us today? Would Jesus say something? If you're sick, it's time to heal. It's time to get about your business. Look at Luke chapter 8. Again, there are afflictions and there are victories in each one of these. Luke 8, verses 1 through 3. Luke 8, starting in verse 1. Now it came to pass afterward that he went through every city and village, preaching and bringing glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him, and a certain woman who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, called Magdalene, out of whom had come seven demons, and Joanna, the wife of Cusa, Herod's steward, Susanna, and others, provided for him from their substance. So what was the affliction? Some kind of major affliction would come in their lives. into chapter 11 of Mark. I want you to imagine, I'm not going to read it all, you know what this is. This is Jesus triumphal entry as he's riding on a donkey. Remember what they said, they chanted, Hosanna to the highest. Blessed is he who is called by the name of the Lord. This is Jesus coming in. I want you to imagine all four of those others, Lazarus, who've been brought back from death. The man with 38 years of infirmity, Mary Magdalene had the demons cast out of her. And then blind Bartimaeus healed from his blindness. And probably, and this is just Jerry thinking out loud, this is the way I like to look at scripture, probably those four were in this crowd as Jesus was coming on the donkey. They were probably saying, Hosanna in the highest. Now look what Jesus has done for me. Each one of them. He's healed me from blindness. He's cast out the demons. And not only those four, but can you imagine Jesus been going on healing and taking care of afflictions and taking care of needs throughout this whole time? Can you imagine all those people in those crowds just crying out what God has done for them? So we're going to go back to Psalm 129 and look at verse 3 and tie all this together with verse 3. The Bible says, Psalm 129, verse 3, the plowers plow on the bank and they make the furrows long. This is a picture of whipping. I don't know how many times they were whipped, but somebody had been beaten on their back with a whip, just like Jesus. Paul's beat. This was a deep affliction. The victory is God. But this affliction had been going on since day one, since they were infancy of the nation, as they were beginning to be called God's people. Satan has always hated them and attacked them since they've been a nation. And there's a couple of reasons why Satan hates them, why other people hated them. Remember the Bible said that they were set apart from everybody else? They were peculiar. They were God's chosen people. And the world hated them because of all this. Let's bring this up to 2020 today. We are peculiar. We're set aside. We're God's people. We're Christians. And the world hates us more than that Satan hates us. And the picture in verse 3 was the whipping in the back, you know, the whipping, the plowing, the cutting through the back skin. That's what we go through with afflictions because we belong to God. As we go through God, let's be careful not to ask the questions, why am I going through this? Life doesn't seem fair because I'm a child of God. So let me answer the question, why do we get afflicted? Why are we being afflicted by COVID-19 right now? Why are we going through the things that's getting us down and depressed? I'll tell you right now, number one, because Satan hates you. You're a child of God. You're chosen. You're peculiar. You're going to be attacked by being a child of God. God receives the glory when we go through this stuff. So is it worth going through the COVID if you had it or you want to get it? Is it worth going through the plowing of your back, the whipping of your back, the hatred of the world, the afflictions of Satan? It'd be kind of hard to say yes, it's worth it as we're going through it, but the end result is your reward. It's going to be a glorious time for eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me share with you some other verses that have to do with why and how we go through these things so that we can learn to apply. buy these things for our lives. Right on the Philippians, go to Colossians, you've gone too far. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, chapter 1, verse 29. Paul writes, "For to you, it has been granted on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer. For whose sake? Calling us to suffer. That's a tough pill to swallow at times, isn't it? But that's what we heard when we got saved, is we made life of suffering. Psalm 129, the Israelites were let to know that the enemy attacked, but they didn't have victory unless we had the victory. Keep on going backwards in Acts chapter 5. I want you to hear what happens there. Verse 41, just one verse. We had our brothers preaching. They got arrested. They were thrown in jail for preaching the word. Now, verse 41 said, "They departed the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer as shame for God's name, for Jesus' name." They were thrown in jail just for preaching Jesus, how he healed people, how he saved people. He was the only way to heaven. And they got thrown in jail for it. I'm sure in the jail they probably got beat, they probably got hurt. Things happened to them, they probably went about. Yet, they counted it all joy to suffer for our Lord Jesus Christ. So we persevere through this life and have peace. Peace passes our understanding.
Amen.
So is it fair to suffer? Is it fair that bad things happen to God's people? When you look at the big picture, yes. Because we agree to suffer for Jesus, for his sake. Our rewards will be great, but as we're going through this suffering, God must get the glory. I heard a sermon this week that God doesn't share his glory. We already know that. You try to do it for God, and somebody's going to fall backwards. As Christians, you're going to face all sorts of suffering and persecutions. And Psalm 21, 29 teaches us how to persevere through this time we call being on earth. Because one day, we experience perfect peace to those that are in Christ. Somebody I read over this. Most nations tend to look back on what they have achieved, but Israel reflects on what she survived. I want you to think about you as a Christian. God has called you to suffer. God has called you to enjoy his blessings. You know what it is to be a Christian. And all of us, would you agree with this? All of us have suffered afflictions. We suffered things that have got us really down. So I want you to look back at your life and think about the things that you've survived. You want to look around and see them. Some have survived cancer. Some have survived heart stuff. One of you has survived stuff up there. What you went through to get to this place right now. I also want you to hear what Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 15. "O death, where's your sting? O hell, where's your victory?" And as you're thinking about all those things that we go through life, and some of us are older than others, we have, you see, ages ranging probably from 89 to 90 to younger, 12, 13, on. Maybe the youngest. So we have ages of varying discuss some really serious stuff, and you hear Paul say, "Death, where is your sting? Hell, where is your victory?" And as a Christian, we get through that, and I'm imagining, I hope you can imagine, all the stuff that you've survived already, and now you're on your deathbed, and you're thinking about, I'm fixing to take my last breath on earth. And remember what Paul writes, "Death, where is the sting? Hell, where is your victory?" And this is Jerry way, I think, now. I'm going to go, I'm glad that's over. I'm already in heaven. I don't have to put up with this stuff anymore. I've survived all of it up to that point. But you know, when you're saved, you've been dying the time you were dying. The rest is all gravy. I'm so glad that children's offered. We've been through everything you can think of in our family, and I'm I am glad that Lord is stepping into heaven. Thank you, Father. Alex, I am having a good time. Let's look at verse 8. So I'm looking about, we're going to close with verse 8. "Neither let those who pass by them say, 'The blessing of the Lord be upon you.' We bless you in the name of the Lord." Put this down and talk about Thanksgiving blessings. And would this be a blessing for Thanksgiving? Now I'll go down and yes and no. It could be a blessing for a Christian family, but the Bible says, "Neither let those pass by to them say, 'The blessing of the Lord be upon you.'" This was a prayer that people would say in the form of greeting, "Bless you," especially during times of harvest. They wanted to be blessed with a great harvest because they depended on that harvest for the rest of the year to eat. They didn't have the produce and Walmart and the Publix like we did. They needed that. So, "Bless you with a great harvest." But what the psalmist is telling us to be really careful, Jesus, I think, would tell us the same thing. Do not bless somebody a generic blessing that you know is living in sin and they're not saved. Don't give them the false impression that God is going to bless them in their way of life. Just don't do that. But bless your brothers and sisters in Christ with a blessing. Don't give those lost people, non-believers, a false hope. And there's a lot of stuff going on in this country that is just not right in the eyes of God. We're being told to accept it and all that stuff, but don't give them a blessing for it.
Amen.
But as a non-believer, they see things in us that they really want, or if they don't see it, they need it. So don't bless them, but lay low and pray for their precious souls because God still loves them. So it is a blessing, Thanksgiving, but it's not. Don't bless those that are living in sin, but bless those that are living in Christ. So let me close with a couple, three or four things that have to do with blessing people. And then we'll read to you a short story. To bless somebody means to invoke God's blessings. I want you to hear that. I'll say it again. To bless somebody means to invoke God's blessings. Steve, if I want to bless you, I'm going to God to bless Steve. And I may tell you in front of God that the Lord bless him. I'm asking God to give you his favor, to give you his blessings. That's what we do, we bless him. So you may already do this, but I'm going to just share with you three or four things about blessing people. Spouses, practice the prayers and blessings for each other. Yeah. parents, invoke God's blessings and prayers for your children. Come all the time. What would happen in our families if we continue to pray for our children over and over and over? Ask God to bless them. Ask God to love them, encourage them, be there with God. And I'm not talking about a generic, just bless them, Lord. I'm talking about a very specific. And then children. Bless your parents by blessing them with a prayer of thanksgiving. Thank the Lord for all that they've done for you. How many of you can remember when you were about 10 or 12 years old? Yeah. You know, at 12 years old, for a guy, for me anyways, I just really loved my mom and daddy. Something happened when I turned 13. It's like a switch for them. I didn't much care to be around mom. Go through Christians, if you're going through something which has got you overwhelmed, you feel down, afflicted, forces of control, you do this in your pew, you can say, Lord, I need to feel your heart wrapped around me. When you go to him with a broken heart, I promise you that he will put his arms around you, and you'll feel you make a difference in your life at this very moment. So let's stand and continue to make a decision. I'll be happy to hear it.